and listen clearly to this message. This is just your first strike of many. Listen to the message. Let's end this now. You can afford to do what's right. Actually, you cannot afford not to do it. Because when we fight, we win. 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 See you Tuesday.
Max Arias, executive director of the local service union that represents thousands of LAUSD cafeteria workers, custodians, bus drivers, and more. He spoke at a big protest outside City Hall yesterday. The union says it plans to strike for 3 days next week, beginning Tuesday. In solidarity, the teachers union, UTLA, will strike with them, meaning really no school for hundreds of thousands of students. Joining us with the details is Howard Bloom. He covers education for the LA Times. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Okay, so what is the likelihood that they actually will go on strike next week, even though negotiations are ongoing?
I think it's very strong. And as of yesterday, unless there's been an announcement this morning, there actually are not ongoing negotiations with Local 99. UTLA, the teachers union, has a negotiating session scheduled for Friday. But the word late in the day from Local 99 was, from Max Arias, was that when they are prepared to meet our 30% contract demand, our raise and a supplement for the lowest employees, then we will return to the table and negotiate on other issues. And as of yesterday afternoon, no negotiation session was scheduled between now and the scheduled walkout.
I see. Okay. Even though the head, the superintendent, Alberto Carvalho, is saying he is sitting by waiting to talk, available 24/7.
Yes, that is his message. And part of what's going on here, of course, is that there is a battle over public opinion, because you have the workers on one side who want sympathy from the public, but you have the same thing going on with the superintendents. So this is also a battle of public opinion and perceptions here. And the union's position is that we have tried to negotiate, and now we are formally in the mediation and fact-finding process, and therefore we are not in day-to-day negotiations. We have not abandoned the process. We are doing what we're supposed to, but we do not have a session scheduled between now and Tuesday. So based on that, it looks pretty clear that they're going to go on strike, barring something miraculous. I mean, miracles do happen, but it seems pretty certain that there will be a strike next Tuesday based on the facts as we have them right now.
So as I understand it, the union represents workers whose average salary is between $25,000 and $30,000. Is that correct?
Right. So according to the union, the average salary is $25,000. These are workers who are full-time workers, part-time workers. Actually, most of the workers in Local 99 are part-time. And this includes bus drivers, custodians, food service workers, special education assistants who work with disabled students, teacher aides, campus aides who are like unarmed campus supervision people who help with security and monitoring exits. It's really all the nuts and bolts of a school. Frankly, if Local 99 went on strike by themselves without UTLA, there would be an open question whether you could actually run the school. But certainly with UTLA and Local 99 going on strike, it's hard to see how this can happen. And it's a very unusual strike. It's not an open-ended strike where they're saying, we can't negotiate any further and we're going to strike until we have a settlement. The purpose of the strike is in protest over allegations of unlawful practices by LA Unified. And they're saying, we are accusing you of behaving improperly and we're going to go on strike for 3 days. It doesn't automatically settle the issues under bargaining at the end of the 3 days.
Well, what are they accusing the district of doing?
They're saying that the LA school district has interfered with their legally protected rights to do union activities, such as talk about labor issues, meet with their fellow union members. And I don't know whether this is true or not. They filed lots of allegations, and probably there have been some issues there. But usually when a contract is settled, both sides will dismiss any of these complaints as part of the settlement. In this case, they're saying, well, we are making these allegations, and therefore we have a legal right under the law to go out on a strike in protest of these practices that we are alleging. And we're going to do that for 3 days. Now, at the end of these 3 days, unless they separately settle the contract, we're going to be right where we started and have a contract that is not yet settled. So we hope that maybe we'll have a contract, but the strike itself will not necessarily end related to whether a contract agreement is reached or not.
Okay, so the union wants a 30% salary increase. And if the average salary is $25,000, that would give the average worker a raise of about $7,500, and they would earn $32,500 a year. What is the district countering with?
The district is offering, and you know, we get a little into the weeds here, but they're offering a 15% raise over 3 years, plus a 4% bonus this year, a retention bonus, sort of an incentive for staying on the job, and a 5% retention bonus next year. So historically speaking, it's a large offer, but the union is saying that the district can afford more and that it costs so much to live in Los Angeles that you have a largely part-time, low-wage workforce that can't afford to pay their bills and live in this high-cost region. From their perspective, this is a fight to lift essential, hardworking workers who look after the needs of students out of poverty, or at least somewhat out of poverty. It is very expensive to live in Los Angeles, and they do absolutely essential work. But there is also, of course, the question of what can the district afford and remain solvent? And I don't actually know the answer to that question. That's partly why they have a fact-finding process that the union and the district are going through at the moment to try to reach some agreement on what the district can afford. But certainly from an abstract sense, it's hard to question the justice of the cause, but not every poverty-related problem can be solved by one entity in society. The issue of generational poverty and working class issues and the cost of living, this is a multi-level society problem.
Mm, right. But the district does have billions of dollars in reserve, nearly $5 billion, as I understand it. I guess Carvalho is saying most of that money is already spoken for.
I mean, the number is accurate. That will be the ending balance at the end of this fiscal year. But what he's saying is that a lot of that money is already committed to future expenses. A lot is one-time money. A lot is money that can be spent on some things, but not on other things. And he says there is a substantial portion of that money that can and will be spent on salary increases and benefit improvements, but it's not nearly as much as the unions are claiming.
Meanwhile, what does this do for the students and the parents? Next week could be chaotic for them, especially for parents who work.
It's going to be difficult. And it's also for the union members. They will be sacrificing 3 days of pay, which is not great for them either. But the district is trying to set up some food distribution mechanism. Packets are being prepared to send home with students. But of course, if teachers are on strike, they're going to be under no obligation to grade this work or to monitor it or theoretically even to hand it out. We'll see what happens there. The district is scrambling frantically at this moment to come up with viable solutions. But yes, it is disruptive. It's even during the pandemic, there was remote learning. It wasn't as good as in-person learning by a long shot, but there was something going on. So this is the first time instruction will really not be happening since, in any form, really, since the 6-day teacher strike of January of 2019. Now, schools were open for supervision during that time, and they will not be open this time.
Howard Bloom, education reporter for the LA Times. Thanks.
Happy to do it.
It has been 20 years since the Iraq War began. How that ushered in a new era of corporate malfeasance. Next on Press Play.